I just realized Phyrexia all is one. If you use one, and it's pwn. It's P1.
P1, baby.
Pwn.
Pwn. What are we, 2001 gamers? Like...
Yes, we are gamers from Waybacks.
Waybacks. Elite Hacks. Right. Okay.
I have not opened any of these links.
Me neither.
All right, well, we'll do it live.
So I always
Bill O'Reilly thing, right?
I always do it live because I can.
Yeah, that's what we do. Welcome to episode number 87 of the Memory Jar. As always, we are here to remember the cards, the decks, the people, and the stories that make Magic, the game that we love. I'm David Prestwood, and with me, as always, is my co-host Christian Wright. Well, I guess not as always. There was one episode where Michael Peterson came on with me when you were unavailable, but we were doing them weekly at that time, and I've never mentioned that, even though we say, as always, every week. It was a very long time. It was early in the teens or something. Anyway, Christian, how are you?
I'm rooting. I'm tooting. I'm scooting. I'm excited to be terrified for this new Phyrexia All is One set.
What terrifies you about Phyrexia All is One?
The art. Have you seen this art? It's terrifying. It's like the worst body horror, and it's the blah. No, just don't like looking at it. Just don't. I'm good.
Oh, see, I actually am a big fan of the body horror thing in Magic. Like when Emrakul was on Innistrad and everybody was growing eyes in their hands and on their shoulders and stuff. I love that. And I love the horror here. Dude, there are so many teeth in non-teeth places in the art in this set. I am all about it.
This is like when you look at an image and it's AI generated and you're trying to figure it out. And like, you notice the mouth has too many teeth in it. It's like,
yeah.
This is just me. Every single piece of art in this set is just me feeling cringy about that in every single piece of art. So
look, yeah. I'm here for it. Put teeth in my eyes, teeth in my ears, teeth in on my teeth. Let's just let's tune that up. Well, as you can tell, we're talking a little bit about Phyrexia All is One. This is the fact show that we do for every new set for Phyrexia All is One. We're going to talk about all different kinds of good stuff from the set, a bunch of the cards, a bunch of the weird facts, creature types, and then the various nonsense that we always do. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm always ready.
All right, well, let's do it. Before we do that, let's do what we always do and crack open the memory jar. All right, this time we have Vapor Snag. This is a single blue mana for an instant. It says return target creature to its owner's hand. Its controller loses one life.
Last episode, we had this happen where we found an on-theme card, and I thought that was wild. We've just done it twice in a row. This is crazy.
Is it that crazy? Like, so there are 25,630 cards in Scryfall, but only 577 in the Scars block. Well, not counting basics. And then I guess if you're counting all the printings of cards that were once printed in the block, not counting basics, which you have to do because this is the Mystery Booster Vapor Snag, not the original New Phyrexia one. Then you have 1,461 unique printings of cards that were at one time printed in the Scars of Mirrodin block. So that really leaves us a 5.7% chance that we would get a fitting card this week. That's like not that crazy. It's like, well, better than 1 in 20. And now I'm realizing that you were just saying like, it's crazy that that happened and like, what are the odds? But you didn't actually want to know the odds.
This is not a math class.
Look, you ask a math question, I'm going to answer the math question, man. So how good, Christian, is an unsummon effect where you also make that player lose one life?
It turns out very good. This was a standard all-star when it was legal, and it's been played a little bit in like some modern decks occasionally. But basically, This is a way to clear a blocker and deal one, which means you're going to deal more damage to your opponent. And if you play Snapcaster Mage, which was legal at the same time, it turns out that's usually two creatures that get bounced, and that is very backbreaking.
Yeah, so you just Vapor Snag, Snapcaster, Vapor Snag. So It's you build your own cryptic command. It's one UUU, and you just get to bounce two creatures, and they lose two.
Yeah.
that's pretty good. Yeah, this was definitely big in the standard decks. I mean, it was legal at the same time as Delver, right?
Yep.
And then I know this appeared in some of the modern Delver decks for a while, and occasionally a couple of these in Merfolk, which was also kind of a tempo-y mono-blue deck, so that made a lot of sense. I have had this in a number of cubes and in various formats where I've really wanted to bounce my own creature, and I'm like, but now I want to do it less than unsummon. But yeah, still seems like a better card. It's what you want.
Yeah, it's just too good. Like, this is one where the cost of adding a poke, which is like your opponent losing one life, is higher than zero mana. Like, this should have probably been fairly costed at one in a blue and not just a single blue, but I don't know. Newton Phyrexia was a garbage fire of a set, so yeah, they just didn't really care, I guess.
All right. Well, let's hope that our new set that is in New Phyrexia is not a garbage fire of a set as we return to this horrifying world of New Phyrexia with Phyrexia All is One. So as I mentioned, as we normally do with the new set, we'll go over the story, talk about mechanics and how they tie into where they've appeared in Magic history, talk about some reprints, the four-stop Celestine section, and our favorite cards more than that. So let's dive in. Christian, you, I believe, like to start us off with the story, or at least if you don't like to, I ask you to.
That's fine. Yeah, no, this one's actually a good one. The story's been pretty good the past couple sets. But I don't want to spoil it much again, because this is, we're kind of like in a Marvel moment with Magic story, where like the excitement is definitely in the ending, and it's a continuous serial story. So like, if you get spoiled on it, and you don't want to get spoiled, you're gonna lose a little bit in the next set or whatever. Basically, to set this up, Jace has gathered 9 other idiots, also known as planeswalkers, on a possible suicide mission to use the filigree silex that Saheeli made in Brothers War / Dominaria United, and he's gonna they're gonna fire it off right at the base of Realmbreaker on New Phyrexia, so they can destroy New Phyrexia and all the Phyrexians, and then they won't evade and life is great.
Yeah, and Realmbreaker is their like Phyrexian version of the World Tree from Kaldheim, right? So
yes,
a way for them to travel between planes because they're not planeswalkers, they can't just do it.
Yeah, and they used to only be able to do it due to Tezzeret because he had stuck the planar bridge into his body,
right?
Which we knew it, which was Kaladesh, which was 6 years ago. Five, 6 years ago. Oh my God. Anyway, so we're not going to reveal too much because it actually is going to really good story. It's only focuses on like a sliver of time within Magic's history in general. The idiot strike team that lands is Jace, Elspeth, Nahiri, Kaito, Nyssa, Luca. Koth's already on there. He's part of the strike team.
Who am the I Wandering missing? Emperor is like flickering in and out.
Wandering Emperor is flickering in and out, and
Vraska. Yeah.
So those are the idiots that thought this was a good idea to do the suicide mission. So fun.
Yeah, seems good. A lot of things happen, and they're not altogether good, as you can probably guess from the name of the next set, which is March of the Machines.
We're good.
So this is mechanic-wise a big return to New Phyrexia and the original Scars of Mirrodin block. We're definitely feeling these mechanics that are Phyrexian and that we haven't really seen in this way for a decade. And mm-hmm. The look of the set, the art is kind of terrifying and just really alien because compared to what we've been used to in worlds that are high fantasy or more kind of like what we have here on Earth. And the mechanics really do mirror that. The first one we want to talk about is Toxic. Why don't you talk about Toxic?
Toxic is the next iteration of trying to put poison counters on players. It is infamously an alternate win condition in Magic, started in the very early history, which we'll get into. But the way Toxic reads is that whenever players are ever dealt combat damage by this creature, they also get so many poison counters, where the number of poison counters is equal to the number that is the toxic value. So toxic one means that if a creature deals combat damage to a player, they will get one poison counter also. If it's toxic three, they'll get three poison counters also, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, they've had a bunch of different ways to give us poison in the past. There were some early cards in Magic that were mostly snakes that would just give poison counters if they dealt damage to opponents, mm-hmm. snakes and scorpions and things where that made sense. And then there was Poisonous, which is actually very similar to Toxic. That was on Virulent Sliver and Snake Cult Initiation and Future Sight. And the difference there was it was templated as a trigger. So it was whenever this deals combat damage to a player, they get as many poison counters as the Poisonous number. And so the distinction is toxic is not triggered. It's just when they get the damage, nothing goes on the stack. They just get that many poison counters.
And that's actually not a irrelevant corner case, because there are cards that double triggers. There are also cards that do stuff with a triggers on the stack or something with creatures. So this is actually a much more functional change than you think. Like, this is, it's actually relevant that it's just kind of like the new lifelink where it just happens at the same time. You can't do anything about it.
Right. Well, and then there was Infect.
Yeah, that's a problem child. Oh boy. So Infect was in the original Scars of Mirrodin block. This was Mark Rosewater's genius idea to make poison relevant. And it was too relevant, because the way it was put in the rules is that whatever damage an Infect creature would deal, one of two things would happen. If it was to another creature, that creature would get -1/-1 counters instead of regular damage. So it means that essentially it was permanent damage. And if it was to a player, for however much damage they were dealt by an Infect creature, that's how many poison counters they got. Well, enterprising players figured out very quickly that if you were to, say, cheaply pump these rinky-dink Infect creatures that were low power because they had to be for balance purposes, it was very easy to, like, essentially deal 10 damage, equivalent of 10 damage. Like, you could turn a 1-1 into a 5-5, and that meant you were halfway there to getting to the mythical 10 poison counter alt win condition against your
opponent. Right. Yeah, critical to mention that 10 poison counters loses the game if you end up with that many. So that's true in Commander as well. We'll see how long that lasts if Toxic becomes a significant thing here. So yeah, Toxic is the fourth one. This is almost exclusively on Obzon cards. There's a couple of blue ones as well. Red doesn't have any Toxic, notably. But seems like a good way to try this. And, you know, it'll tie in with some of the other mechanics we're going to talk about. The other problem with poison counters originally was singularity, which is that if you give your opponent 9 poison counters, they might as well have nothing. It's like, if you don't get to 10, it doesn't matter. And so we have a fix for that, which I find really interesting, a cool design. It's called Corrupted. It's an ability word that highlights abilities or spells that are kind of turned on once one of your opponents has 3 or more poison counters. So now there's value to getting your opponent 3 poison counters, say. You don't have to get all the way to the 10 because it makes some of your creatures better. So I'll read an example of that. There's a card called Bone Picker Scourge, which is 2 and a black for a 2/2 Phyrexian Imp at common. It has flying, so it's a Windrake, and it says Corrupted. As long as opponent has 3 or more poison counters, Bonepicker Scourge has Death Touch and Lifelink. So going from a 2/2 flyer for 3 to a 2/2 Death Touch Lifelink is a pretty incredible jump, and absolutely a reason to say, all right, well, maybe I do want some toxic creatures just to get those poison counters and make these other creatures better.
Yeah, and because that was a big problem, as they talked about in the design articles for Phyrexian Alls 1 that hit Scars of Mirrodin, especially, I remember drafting, because it was either you're really poison or you were an aggro, like you did some of the limited deck. Those, they didn't care about poison. So like, if you wanted to go poison, you had a free lane, but like your backup plan was nothing. Like, it was just playing dinky.
So you had to be all in. And what we're saying now is you don't have to be all in.
No.
That seems like, better. Seems better for limited.
Yeah, and it's a lot better, and there's value in getting to your opponent have a couple of poison counters to get something cool. The next one's a super fun one. It actually is a nice little callback to an original mechanic in the original Scribes of Mirrodin block. It's 4 Mirrodin. Pretend I had
an exclamation point. Is this our first ability word with an exclamation point in it? That
is correct. The way it works is that there are certain equipment that when you cast it, it comes into play attached to a 2/2 red rebel creature token. The reason why this is a neat twist is that this is a callback to the original living weapon mechanic that was in New Phyrexia, where it did the same thing except it attached it to a 000 germ token. So it's pretty cool. It's a cool mechanic because it doesn't make equipment kind of worthless, but also it, you know, you could cast equipment knowing that this is going to be functionally a 4/4 when it comes into play, or a 3/3 or something. It's a neat little mechanic.
Okay, I'll read one of these for an example. This is Dragonwing Glider. It is a rare. It is 3 red, red for an artifact equipment that has 4 Mirrodin. And it says equipped creature gets +2/+2 and has flying and haste. And it has equip for 3 red, red. So basically, it enters the battlefield. It's attached to a 2/2. So it's a 4/4 flying haste for 5. That's a dragon. That seems great. And then you can throw it onto your other creatures for 3 red, which is expensive, but it's fine because you are probably already satisfied with this 4/4 flying haste. An interesting way to try to make equipment relevant, especially since they've been trying to make equipment relevant in red and white for set after set after set. And we see the uncommon signpost cards in red and white care about equipment and it never quite works. So maybe this is finally the thing that's going to do it. We kind of have to hope so.
I mean, let's be fair to Magic history. They're trying to make equipment relevant, but not broken.
So. Yes, that is true. Yes, you could make equipment relevant very easy if you just went ham. And so we hope that they're going turkey, I think is the answer to that.
That is exactly correct.
Our next mechanic is oil counters. This isn't really a mechanic so much as a theme on a bunch of cards across all 5 colors. Heavier, it looks like in red, blue, and green. And cards that care about oil counters will come into play with them or have a way to add them. And then most of them can remove the oil counters for some effect. So, for example, Tamiyo's Immobilizer is an uncommon. It's 3 and a blue for an artifact. It enters with 4 oil counters. You can tap and remove an oil counter from it to tap an artifact or creature. So it's kind of a Icy Manipulator-ish thing. Doesn't do lands, and you can't do it, you know, in an unlimited way. But it gives you 4 shots of this effect. And there are also cards that sometimes will let you put oil counters on a creature. Also, we're going to talk about Proliferate, which lets you choose permanents and add counters to them. I guess we can just go ahead and go there now.
Yeah, so this works well. The whole oil counter mechanic theme works well with Proliferate. Proliferate is back. It's better than ever. With so many ways and cards that care about counters, Proliferate is a perfect mechanic that makes those even more relevant. Proliferate is an ability that involves choosing any number of permanents and or players, and then however many counters are on those permanents and or players, you just give them another one. So, like, for example, if you have 4 poison counters, 2 energy counters, you have a creature with a +1/+1 counter and another creature with a charge counter, and you choose all of those, they'll all get one more of all the counters they have on them. So,
yeah, and one of the interesting things is if you have a creature with, say, a +1/+1 counter and an indestructible counter, you're choosing that permanent, and then if you choose the permanent, they get one of each of the counters that is already there, and so it would get one of each. This is really cool. We saw this last time in War of the Spark, where we were proliferating +1/+1 counters and, more importantly, loyalty counters, because it was a big Planeswalker-themed set. Mm-hmm. Modern Horizons 2 also had a few cards that proliferated, as they do with a bunch of different mechanics. Interestingly, in this set, there are no +1/+1 counters. I think because of the oil counters, it would be a little difficult to keep track of what they were on various creatures. This is very smart, like how they don't do +1/+1 and -1/-1 counters in the same set. They don't expect you to have like different colored dice or anything like that. But this is really cool. It has that thing where you can just tack it on to a bunch of existing cards and you'll have card with set mechanic. And so it's an option to do it here where maybe a card costs 1 extra mana, or with some of these cards, maybe it even doesn't. And you can get this bonus. You get in once with a toxic creature, and then now you're proliferating on your opponent to turn on your corrupted creatures. Or you have something with an oil counter. All right, well, I want to remove it, but now I'm going to add an oil counter before I do that. And so I think there's going to be a lot of fiddly nonsense here, and I'm very here for it.
Yeah, and it usually is. It's great. What is also another note, there's no -1/-1 counters in the set. So that was also, with Scars of Mirrodin especially, that was a common way to kill creatures, was you would put 1-1/-1 counter at it, and then you'd proliferate a bunch and kill it. But yeah, no, it's a lot more fun as a mechanic when you're just doing cool things with it and not mean things to your opponent, which is, I guess, how every Magic game should be. So I'm just kind of stating the obvious here.
All right, let's move on and talk about reprints in the set. Let's start with the Fast Lands. Originally printed in Scars of Mirrodin, these are staple dual lands. We finally have the 5 allied Fast Lands that are entering Pioneer for the first time. These are Blackcleave Cliffs, Copperline Gorge, Darkslick Shores, Razor Verge Thicket, and Seachrome Coast. Very exciting to have these pop up into Pioneer.
Yeah, Enemy Cycle was printed in Kaladesh, and that's been in Pioneer for a while, and it does a lot of work. It's really good in decks that don't want to take a lot of damage from their mana base, or there's not going to be a lot of turns for that deck to operate, so it doesn't matter that like there's a drawback on them. The problem with these for a long time, funny enough, was that because they were printed in Scars of Mirrodin, and they didn't genericize them, they were only tied to being reprinted when they went back to New Phyrexia, which is incredibly awkward.
Yeah, and we've finally done it. I realize also I didn't say what these do. So I'll read Darkslick Shores as an example. It says, Darkslick Shores enters the battlefield tapped unless you control two or few other lands. And that one particularly taps for a blue or a black. So when you play them early, they come in untapped. When you play them later, they come in tapped, which is why they are called the fast lands. They are untapped when you play them quickly. And they give you fast mana in the early game.
Yes, and unlike the creature lands from the Adventures in the Forgotten Realms set, where they, if it's two or more other lands, this works if this is the third land played. So that's the secret. It works up to being the third mana source in play, then after that they come into play tapped. So once you know that little trick, it also makes them a lot better, because honestly, when I first read them, I thought it was just if this was the third land, you were playing them tapped and they're awful. And then I saw people play them and I said, I just can't read English. So that works out. So this next one's a spicy one. This is a fan favorite card. It's Phyrexian Arena. It's one black for an enchantment. It says, at the beginning of your upkeep, draw a card and lose one life. It's not a May. You just lose a card, draw a card and lose one life. And yeah, it was printed in Standard first in 2001 Apocalypse. It was reprinted in 8th and 9th edition because the kids really loved Phyrexian Arena. And since then, Wizards has thought it's maybe a bit too strong, so it's been in supplemental sets. But not now. Now it's back into Standard and ready to ruin Standard. It's going to be great.
Yeah, this is the personal Howling Mind that everybody wants. It draws you an extra card every turn. And yeah, you pay for it a little bit, but that's Black's whole thing, is like, you know, greatness at any cost. And this version's a little sad, man. The art is Jace and Vraska, and I'm just going to read this flavor text. It says, for a bittersweet moment, Jace believed he could still save his love. A moment was all Vraska needed.
For the glory of Phyrexia,
she whispered. That's so, my Vraska voice. I hope you liked my Vraska voice.
It was good. I'm crying tears right now. Funny enough, Phyrexian Arena, this is now the second time Phyrexian Arena has a very depressing story beat on the art. In the first one that was released, it shows the moment right before Gerard Capuchin, the hero of the original Weatherlight saga, is about to decapitate Urza in front of Yawgmoth, basically. So, yeah.
So, the Phyrexian Arena is where they do snuff films, apparently.
Yeah. If there's a Phyrexian Arena involved, something bad's about to happen.
Well, speaking of things that could end up in a Phyrexian Arena, let's talk about Phyrexian Obliterator. This is coming back at Mythic, originally printed in New Phyrexia. It's black. That's four black for a 5/5 Phyrexian Horror with Trample. And it says, whenever a source deals damage to Phyrexian Obliterator, that source's controller sacrifices that many permanents. Is this really the thing we need in Standard with Shieldred and all these other mono black decks already floating around? Come on.
No.
We'll have to see what this does. This has already been in Historic on Arena and has been very annoying there. So now I guess we'll get to see it in Pioneer. And I don't know. This card is cool. It looks good. It's hard to cast. You can only really play it in mono black. And then if they just destroy it, then it dies. It's like dealing damage to it is the problem. So really nice against like mono red.
Mm-hmm. Or like creature decks where they have to chump, but they lose two creatures every time they chump or something. What's interesting about this is a quote unquote upgraded or fixed version of a reserve list card that is Phyrexian Negator. I'm going to read this real quick because it's a nice little parallel evolution type thing. So Phyrexian Negator is two and a black for a 5/5 horror. Sorry, Phyrexian Horror. It's been eroded. My apologies. It has trample, and whenever Phyrexian Negator is dealt damage, sacrifice a permanent for each one damage dealt to it. So it's worse, and you're thinking, why would you play this? Well, Dark Ritual is legal in Urza's block and was never banned. So this was a turn one 5/5 that was very hard to get off the board. And who cared if you sacrifice a land? You're still dealing at least four damage, at least one damage to your opponent when they attacked. So
annoying.
Yep.
Well, yep. There's one here I want to talk about that is probably considered really boring by everyone who's listening, but I don't care. It's Terramorphic Expanse.
Yay!
AKA Evolving Wilds with other text. So This is very simple. It is a land. You sacrifice it, and you can search your library for a basic land, put it onto the battlefield, and then shuffle. And this is the first time it's been in Standard since Magic 2011. And so it's kind of neat.
Yeah, it's been reprinted to death in supplemental products, but for the past 10-plus years, there's been kind of a policy where the Standard players get to play with Evolving Wilds, the EDH players get to play with Terramorphic Expanse, and Neri, the two shall cross. And it was kind of weird and frustrating. But now, once again, they're both going to be in Standard at the same time, and I think it'll be fine. I don't know. What's the harm in having, instead of four Evolving Wilds, what's the problem with having eight?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Evolving Wilds is a big-time Standard card or anything. One other reprint I just wanted to mention is Thrumming Bird. This is one in a blue for a 1-1 Phyrexian Bird Horror with flying, and it says whenever it deals combat damage to a player, proliferate. War of the Spark gave us a white version of this the last time around, so anytime there's a set with proliferate, it's nice to have this little flyer that can get in and proliferate when it deals. Just kind of a neat way to, again, push those counters and push those triggers.
It's also very, very good. I will say that for the record. Thundering Bird is a must play if you're going to play it. Like, you should, if you see it, unless there's a bomb rare, snap that up. That is, I played with it a lot in Scars of Mirrodin Limited. It was fantastic.
Yes. All right, let's move on to Forced Obsolescence. This is our section where it's not about what cards are strictly better, it's about which cards make older cards completely obsolete. So that means the new card has to completely replace it. It has to be the same color, the same cost or cheaper, and have the same or a better effect. And we're only talking here about cards that newly make a card obsolete. Like Windrake, the 2 in a blue 2/2 flyer, is obsolete already. We don't need to mention it when they print a better one in every single set.
Which is still sad. They print a better one in every single set. RIP.
You do, every single set.
Yes. There also may be some corner cases related to creature type or turning presumably negative effects, like losing life into a positive, but those are literal tiny corner cases. We're not here for that. Like, you can think of some cool scenario, tweet at us, we'll give you a thumbs up and retweet it and say, this is pedantic. So,
yeah. But also, we might miss some real ones here, and you should send those to us because we want to know what we missed.
Yes.
But let's start with Annihilating Glare. This is black for a common sorcery. It says, as an additional cost to cast the spell, pay 4 or sacrifice an artifact or creature. And it says, destroy target creature or planeswalker. Well, this makes obsolete a card we just got in the Brothers War, Power Stone Fracture, which is 1 in a black and has the same text, except you can't pay the 4. You have to sacrifice an artifact or creature. So Annihilating Glare, more modal and a mana cheaper.
Yeah, this next one's a weird one. This is Anoint with Affliction. Anoint with Affliction, Obsolete Smother. We'll tell you how, because it's a little convoluted. So Anoint with Affliction is 1 in a black for an instant. It says, exile target creature if it has mana value 3 or less. So you can target something. It'll check if it has mana value 3 or less. If it doesn't, it won't exile it. If it does, it will exile that creature. But there's another line that says, corrupted. Exile that creature instead if its controller has 3 or more poison counters. So this allows you to exile any creature on the board, so long as its controller has 3 or more poison counters. The reason this exiles Smother is a lot less complicated and convoluted than that, but it just destroys a creature with mana value 3 or less.
And it can't be regenerated. So
I mean,
exiling is better than burying. We know that.
Yeah, but the kids don't know regeneration. Let's, you know, that might as well just say,
I hope that our audience isn't kids.
The bleep, blorp, bloop, that's what it sounds like. I'm just saying.
All right, our next one is Blue Sun's Twilight. This is a rare. It's X blue blue for a sorcery. Gain control of target creature with mana value X or less. If X is 5 or more, create a token that's a copy of that creature. Very cool. This obsoletes Entrancing Melody, which is the same thing, except without that cool token-making line. That was a rare from Ixalan.
Yeah, I mean, that card was really good already, and this is just better too, like just strictly better, and obsoletes it. Like, that's doing it dirty.
Really nice.
Next we have Experimental Augury. So Experimental Augury is 1 in a blue for an instant. Look the top 3 cards of your library, put 1 of them into your hand and the rest of them bottom of your library in any order, and then you proliferate. This obsoletes Contentious Plan and Steady Progress. Contentious Plan because digging for 3 and picking one of those is better than just drawing a card, which is what Contentious Plan does. And Steady Progress is 3 in a blue to proliferate and draw a card, and it's an instant, and Experimental Augury is an instant for 2 mana that does a proliferate and also allows you to pick 1 of 3. It's just better. It obsoletes the hell out of those cards. Don't play them.
Yeah, pretty nice. Yeah. The next one is Feed the Infection. 3 and a black for a sorcery, you draw 3 cards and you lose 3 life, and it has corrupted. Each opponent who has 3 or more poison counters loses 3 life. This obsoletes both ancient craving and ambitions cost, which just say you draw 3 cards and you lose 3 life. So again, corrupted, just tack it on, makes it better.
Wild. It's like they have a whole design plan around this. Crazy. Next one's really fun. This one is actually a sneaky one. So Gleeful Demolition is not only a callback to Kadoltha Rebirth, it also obsoletes it. Gleeful Demolition is 1 red for a sorcery, or just 1 single red. Destroy target artifact. If you control that artifact, create 3/1/1 red Phyrexian goblin creature tokens. Kadoltha Rebirth reads, 1 red for a sorcery. As an additional cost to cast Kadoltha Rebirth, sacrifice an artifact, put 3/1/1 red goblin creature tokens on the battlefield. Gleeful Demolition is just like a modal version of Kadoltha Rebirth. You can shatter your opponent's artifact, or you can kill one of your own, and if you kill one of your own, cool. You got 3 goblins out of it. Pretty wild.
All right, so who's making 8 Rebirth as a modern deck? Just make all these goblin tokens and go to town. Bombardment them away, I guess? I don't know.
The 8 whack's a thing. You just do 8 whack.
Yeah, 8 whack, 8 rebirth. We're going to need 8 of something else to make that make sense. All right, the next one is Mercurial Spell Dancer. And I don't know if this obsoletes anything, but I wanted to raise it because I couldn't figure it out. It's 1 and a blue for a 2/1 Phyrexian Rogue at rare. It can't be blocked. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, put an oil counter on it. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you can remove 2 oil counters from it. If you do, when you cast your next instant or sorcery this turn, copy that. You may choose new targets for the copy. So most of that text isn't relevant. This is, as far as I can tell, the first ever 2-mana creature that has 2 power and can't be blocked right out of the gate without you having to do anything else or any conditions to be met. And I'm not sure it actually obsoletes another card because they were already all obsolete for other reasons, but this is pretty good.
I mean, the fact that it's just a 2/1 that can't be blocked for 2, wild. Like, players in 2012 Magic would think this is the most busted creature to ever exist. Yeah, it's just a fantastic card. But it's also Phyrexian Rogue, which I guess this is a... we're going to be a little early on the type combination thing. How can you be a rogue in Phyrexian? Aren't rogues supposed to be like hiding in the shadows or something? Like, I don't get
just
it.
Just a sneaky Phyrexian. Look, we got to get those Phyrexian party decks online.
That's the stupidest thing I've heard as far as Magic is concerned in a little bit. It's just
you're
as
welcome.
Dumb as me. It's just as dumb as me saying, you know what makes Magic fun? If I play Winter Orb.
yeah, but you actually did that too.
I did that. That was stupid. Okay, that's a story for later. Moving on. We got a nice one. Monument Perfection obsoletes Journeyer's Kite. So Monument Perfection is an artifact for 2 generic mana. It has 3 generic mana. Tap, search your library for a basic Seer or Locust land card. Reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle. And then you could pay 3 generic mana for Monument to Perfection to become a 9/9. That's right. 9/9 Phyrexian Construct artifact creature that loses all abilities and gains indestructible and toxic 9. You can only activate this though if 9 or more lands with different names are among the basic sphere and locust lands that you control, which is very hard, but cool. This obsoletes Journeyer's Kite because Journeyer's Kite is just like the first half of what I just said, where it's a 2-mana artifact where you can pay 3 generic to search your library for just a basic land and put it in your hand then shuffle. Like Monument Perfection just does a tiny bit more and then makes a cool creature if you jump through a couple hoops. So,
wow, that is a lot of text to be better than Journeyer's Kite. All right, the next is Pestilent Siphoner, 1 and a black for a 1/1 Phyrexian insect with flying, and it has toxic 1. This, I'm going to say, obsolete Swamp Mosquito, which is from Alliances. It was 1 and a black for a 0/1 insect with flying, and that said, whenever Swamp Mosquito attacks and isn't blocked, defending player gets a poison counter. There are definitely some corner cases where it's like, oh, I can attack with this, they don't block, then they get a poison counter before damage, and then I ninjutsu in something and return my Swamp Mosquito. Nope, we're not going to do any of that. It's just like a better version of Swamp Mosquito. Moving on.
You're not playing a bad Alliances draft common. Come on. Okay,
yes, next I am.
Let's pushing it. Okay, we got Phyrexian Vindicator. I kid. Phyrexian Vindicator obsoletes Dawn Elemental. Whoa, this is a deep, deep cut, and we're gonna go into it. So Phyrexian Vindicator is white, 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 white. It is like an opposite of Phyrexian Obliterator. For a 5/5 flyer, If damage be dealt to Phyrexian Vindicator, prevent that damage. When damage is prevented this way, Phyrexian Vindicator deals that much damage to any other target. So you can't do any cool, like, infinite damage loops with it. But basically, if you deal damage to it, psych! Go into somewhere else. Dawn Elemental is white for a 3-3 flying elemental, and all it does is just prevents all damage dealt to Dawn Elemental. Like, still very strong, but doesn't have the cool, like, damage redirection ability that Phyrexian Vindicator has, and also is a 3-3 and not a 5-5.
Yeah, but still costs 4 white against all odds. This one I was surprised to see. Planar Disruption wanted a white for a common enchantment aura. Enchant artifact, creature, or planeswalker. Enchanted permanent can't attack or blocked, and its activated abilities can't be activated. Straight up obsoletes pacifism. Wanted a white for an enchantment aura, enchanted a creature, and that creature can't attack or block. We finally did it. We finally did a 2-mana version of pacifism that adds activated abilities and additional types. Wild.
It's, they just took a rest and they said, you know what? What if we just made a rest pacifism? Done.
Yeah. Let's go for 2 mana. Seems good.
Yep. Next, we got Rebel Salvo. It obsoletes Soul Seer. Rebel Salvo is a red instant. It's 2 and a red for, and it has affinity for equipment. So the spell costs 1 less to cast for each equipment you control. And Rebel Salvo deals 5 damage to target creature or planeswalker. That permanent loses indestructible until end of turn. Pretty wild. Soul Seer is a red instant for 2 and a red, and it deals 5 damage to target creature planeswalker. That permanent loses indestructible until end of turn. Yeah, so Soul Seer is Rebel Salvo without the affinity for equipment line. So, yeah.
It does have good Minotaur art, though.
Minotaur art is better, so Soul Seer is still number one in my heart.
All right, fair enough. Our next one is Tyvar Stand. This is an uncommon. It's X and a green for an instant. Target creature you control gets +X/+X and gains hexproof and indestructible until end of turn. So, my goodness, defend your creature and also make it huge. This obsoletes Untamed Might. It's originally common from Scars of Mirrodin, so a direct reference here, which just gives target creature +X/+X until end of a turn for X and a green. No hexproof, no indestructible, no elf in the art.
So we're going to talk about Resistance Skywarden super quick. It actually doesn't obsolete anything. This is another first in Magic's history. It is the first non-token creature with menace and reach. Took them long enough. Now we have it.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, they are kind of weird abilities because menace wants you to attack and reach wants you to block. But other than the token spiders from Lolth and Drider, I don't think anything else has ever had menace and reach. Very cool. All right, let's talk about creature types. We have one new creature type. It is Mite. M-I-T-E, a mite. Skrelv Defector Mite is a Phyrexian mite. That's a rare legendary artifact creature. There are also mite tokens. I guess not quite an insect, but very similar.
I thought we should highlight that rebels are back, so they're not new again. We're seeing rebels for the first time since 2007, so I feel like they're new.
That's a long time. We don't have a lot of new creature types here. There are some new creature type combos with Phyrexians, but of the 138 creatures in the set, 127 are Phyrexians, which has got to be a record for most creatures of one type in a set. This really is the Phyrexian set.
We do want to highlight a couple of notable type combinations because there's some new ones and some cool ones. First is Phyrexian Drone. This is found on one card. It is Malkator's Watcher. We just want to note that the other creature types that have drone on them are Eldrazi. Is it just a coincidence? I don't know. We're going to find out.
So you're really hoping for the Eldrazi Phyrexian showdown at some point?
Yes, I am.
Sounds good to me. All right. I want to talk about Graz Unstoppable Juggernaut because it's a legendary artifact creature juggernaut that turns all of your other creatures into 5/3 juggernauts. Which is crazy. We finally have Juggernaut Tribal. And it's Juggernaut Tribal in a can because it just like is its own tribal.
It's pretty great. Yeah. I'm going to talk about a new land type. It's not a new creature type, but we have spheres. What do? They just are noting that it's a sphere. It's on a cycle of commons where you can tap them for 1 in the color of the land it produces to draw a card. And then there's 4 rare lands that are spheres that do cool stuff, but there's nothing intrinsically cool about a sphere other than there's, like, again, Monument to Perfection, you can search for it, and that's about it.
just a Phyrexian specific thing. One more thing worth mentioning here. It's not a type combination, but it is a type that is mentioned on the card, Atraxa Grand Unifier, the brand new Phyrexian Angel. She mentions all of the card types, and one of them here listed is Battle.
Which,
yeah, it's letting us know that something is coming, a new card type to Magic. We have no idea what Battle is yet. This is very similar to when Tarmogoyf was printed in Future Sight and listed all of the card types, and one of them was Planeswalker, and people said, wait, I thought we were Planeswalkers, spellcasting wizards. What is a Planeswalker card? And then we all found out what they are. So there we go.
Stay tuned and keep your eyes open. We're going to end on tokens.
Going to plow through these. We mentioned the Phyrexian Mite, the 1-1 artifact creature with Toxic 1 that can't block. There's also a 2-2 white samurai with double strike. The Wanderer brings these from Kamigawa. So a little upgrade to the samurai that she made the last time. There's the Rebel that we mentioned for Mirrodin. That's a red vanilla 2-2. We have some 2-2 white cats, which we haven't seen in a while. But if you have a Kemba in your set, you know that there are going to be some cats involved. We've got 1-1 vanilla Phyrexian Goblin. That is unfortunate, made by a bunch of different cards. 3-3 colorless Phyrexian Golem. Again, just a Golem, but Phyrexian now. There are two different Phyrexian Horror tokens. One is Nissa makes an XX, and then Urbask's Forge makes an X1 with Trample and Haste, which is very exciting. We're just ball lightninging Phyrexian Horrors. There's a 3-3 green Phyrexian Beast with Toxic 1 that is made by a couple of different cards. And then there is a Drone that Kaito makes. It's a 2-2 colorless artifact with Death Touch, and when this creature leaves the battlefield, each opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. So just bringing your little buddy along.
Your bud. Your raccoon buddy. He gets all the gold is distracts him, so it's going to be hard. But let's go over counters. Again, kind of talked about these. There's only really 4 counters in the set, technically. We have poison counters. They go on players. Don't get sick. The Dominus cycle of mythic creatures all get indestructible counters from their activated ability. There's loyalty counters on planeswalkers. We all know what they do. And lastly, we have oil counters, which are, again, we talked about the whole theme mechanic thing, but that's it. Oil counters kind of crowded everything out like Phyrexians do, and we don't get any cool counters because of it.
Yeah, kind of disappointing. Not even charge counters. Weird. Special frames, etc. I'm going to preface this by saying that we still love the extended arts from collector boosters. Those are always great. No problem. Let's talk about the full art lands. There are 3 different kinds of full art lands. There are the panorama lands. There are the Phyrexian lands. And then there are the oil slick basics. I will say the Phyrexian ones are pretty cool. The oil slick ones look cool, but I need to see them in person. And the regular panorama lands are just like normal and fine.
Yeah. I mean, they've figured out how to do these well.
There are the Ichor cards. These are alternate arts. They're mostly monochromatic, but with some splashes of color, and the rare and mythic ones are borderless. These are unique. The monochromatic things always kind of blend together for me, but I do really like the splashes of color, especially on the gold cards. Those look really cool.
I mean, they all kind of look samey. I don't know. Like, I'm not really jonesing to pick them up.
There are borderless manga cards. There are 20 of these. I think they're okay. Again, these are even more monochrome and they don't really do it for me, even though I do like that they're bringing in different types of artists to do Magic cards.
Yeah, again, not for me, but I'm glad they do it. I kind of wish they weren't all monochromatic, to be honest. I think they would have been really cool with colorization on it.
I mean, the Junji Ito Elish Norn I'm kind of here for, but other than that. The step and complete foils, these are the special foils that look like a Phyrexian symbol in the background. These don't excite me in any way.
No, it's just another foil thing. Who cares?
We have a new bunch of Phyrexian language planeswalkers and a Phyrexian Elish Norn. We've talked about these to death, probably. Like, they're not for me.
No. What kills me about this one is it's not just one. There's a bunch, and they all have bunch of text on them, so if you play these, I will ask that you have an English version on you or you have the Oracle translation ready.
Yeah, I opened the Phyrexian Shieldred at the pre-release for that set and had to explain to my opponents what was going on there, and then they didn't believe it because that card was busted. And then there's the oil slick raised foils, which remind me a lot of those Comic-Con planeswalkers that were kind of blacked out, so not, I gotta say, not so much. The lands I all hold out hope for.
Yeah, I'll I want to see them in foil, but again, like, they just all look samey. And
yeah, the showcase cards this set are overall a miss for me, and I've been pretty on board with recent sets. I'm just kind of, this is too many.
It's too many, and I just don't care anymore. Like, I'm exhausted. They have now 20 billion different versions, which is an exaggeration, but, like, I mean, what's the difference between a step and complete foil versus an oil slick foil? I don't care. Just, like, they really did a good job when they just made it borderless, and then they added one alternate foil version, and that was fine. And now I feel like they're trying to keep upping themselves, and I don't know who these cards are for.
It unfortunately reminds me of when comics started doing, like, a million different variant covers, and then comics crashed. So
yeah,
let's hope we're not there, but you never know. All right, let's talk about some more fun stuff. The Secret Reach card. So recent sets have featured creatures that, for some reason, nobody notices have reach and just attack their flyers into. Recent examples include Marius Outrider from Dominaria United and Rock Hunter from the Brothers War, both red cards with reach, which is kind of a theme here. Christian, do you have a choice?
Yeah, I'm going to say Resistance Skywarden, which we talked about earlier. I mean, the fact that the reach happens after Menace and the art looks like there's no reason it should have reach will do it for me, you know?
It is going to be confusing that it doesn't list reach first. That's definitely true. For me, it's going to be Skysife Invoker. This is 5 and a green for a 6/5 Phyrexian Beast. It has reach and trample, and it can't be blocked by creatures with flying. It's a big creature, and you're going to remember that it has something to do with flyers, but probably not that it has two things to do with flyers. Like, also, anytime you're concerned about a creature being an attacker, it's easy to forget that it can just block your 1/1 little thrumming bird. So watch out. I'm going to lose some creatures to this thing.
Absolutely. I think we both are. Next part of the podcast, which is my least favorite ever. It is our best tongue twister, inspired by our favorite Magic tongue twister, Quick Sliver, which was in Legions and should be burned to the ground. Introduced to us by friend of the podcast, David Leifert. Tilly, thank you so much for making me hate to say words every time we do these episodes. I think there's one that I especially despise in this set, and that is Surgical Skull Bomb.
Yeah, I went through and tried to say a bunch, and all of the ones that looked like they were difficult actually weren't, but Surgical Skull Bomb is very hard to say without saying Scourgical at some point, and Surgical. So that also gets my vote for Tongue Twister for this set.
Nope. Scourgical, yep, nope, I just said Scourgical. Nope,
you said Scourgical the first time, that's a good sign. Alright, we found the right one. Finally, we also talk about a suggestion from our listener, Camilla, who said it might also be fun to hear something like one common, one uncommon, and one rare you think are well-designed, exemplify the set, or excite you in one way or another. So yeah, we do that every time. I'm going to start with a common Flensing Raptor. This is 2 and a white for a 2/2 Phyrexian bird with flying and toxic 1. And when it enters the battlefield, another target creature you control with toxic gets +1/+1 and gains flying until end of turn. So this is a great Windrake. It's flying. It has toxic, so you can get in for giving them a poison counter. It also jumps one of your other toxic creatures. So it really is going to get you in for those poison counters. And I like that ability a lot.
Yeah, this is a fantastic common. I have a feeling people are going to be fighting over their Flensing Raptors here once drafts happen. It's super solid. I'm going to go with one that I talked a little bit earlier to preview this, but I think I want to try to kill people with this card in draft. It is Prologue Phyresis. It's 1 and a blue for an instant. Each opponent gets a poison counter and draw a card. So... yeah, I like cantripping poison counters. That seems great. And let's see if we can just kill people with it.
You get as many of these as you possibly can, and then you cast them to put counters on your unblockable 2/1, and then you remove oil counters from it to cast another one of these and copy it and just poison counter out your opponent. Yeah, I can see you liking that. Hell, what about an uncommon for you?
I'm going to go with Urbrask's Anoiter. It is 3 and a red for a 4/2 artifact creature Phyrexian Wizard. I love that the Phyrexian Wizard is an artifact creature. Cool flavor thing. when it enters the battlefield, it deals X damage to any target where X is the number of permanents you control with oil counters on them. It looks like a cool oil counter build around. I think it's going to, you know, kill some people. So I want to see if it's doable or not.
Yeah, I really like this. It's one of the many Flame Tongue Kavu references that they have done in different sets where it's like a 4-mana 4/2 that can deal a bunch of damage to something based on some condition. I mean, Flame Tongue Kavu was the best one because it just dealt four to whatever, but we've seen a party version of this, just a bunch of different versions of this, and this one definitely is potentially cool. I'm going to go with Bilious or Bilious. I think it's Bilious Skull Dweller. Bilious Skull Dweller is a fun thing to say. This is an uncommon that is black for a 1/1 Phyrexian insect. It has Death Touch and Toxic 1. So it's very simple. I have always been a sucker for a 1/1 Death Touch, and this one gives you an incentive to block it. And I think that's really neat.
It is really neat.
Neat little card.
I can't wait for you to tell me a story about how you had two of these in play, and then your opponent had to chump both of them with their dumb bombs, and you won, and you were like, ha ha, deal with that. And I'll be like, that's exciting.
God, goals. Goals.
Yep. So what's your rare / mythic? What are you going to go with?
I'm going to go with Bloated Contaminator. It's a rare. It's 2 and a green for a 4/4 Phyrexian Beast with Trample. It has Toxic 1, and whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you proliferate. So clearly I like Toxic because I picked 3 cards with Toxic on them. But honestly, this one in particular, I'm a simple man. I see a creature with Trample that cares about dealing combat damage to a player, and I'm 100% in for it. So this is basically, it's a 4/4 Trample for 3. They can block it all they want. It's still going to get through. It's still going to hit them, give them that poison counter, and then it's going to proliferate. So it's like Toxic 2, but even better.
Oh, yeah. This card's fantastic. I will say, I think this is going to kill people more with combat damage than poison. Yes. But yes, the fact that it can do both is fantastic. I'm a fan of this card, too.
And if there's any corrupted synergy or anything else, then you just get the 3 poison counters. This is a great way to get those first 2. The last one should be pretty trivial. Also, yes, just like a 3-mana 4/4 trample with no drawbacks is like, what?
That's pushing the power level a bit, but just a bit. Yeah.
How about you?
I'm going to go with what the people are calling the white bitter blossom. It's not, but it's close. It's Skyrel's Skyrel. Did I say that right? You know what? I don't care. There's no pronunciation.
I think it's, I'm going to go Skrelv.
Skrelv? Okay. Skrelv's Hive, because I added a Y. That's on me. It's 1 and a white for an enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, you lose 1 life and create a 1/1 colorless Phyrexian Mite artifact creature token with Toxic 1, and this creature can't block. If your opponent has 3 or more poison counters, creatures you control with Toxic have lifelink. So basically, they can't block, so it's not as good as Bitter Blossom, but you still have inevitability. You still are making creatures for essentially free, and it's still pretty good.
Yeah, and once you get those 3 poison counters or more, then you can get that life back, and so it might not kill you in the long run. You can just keep attacking with it.
Yep.
There was a lot of debate about this one and people calling it the White Bitter Blossom and everything, and I'm going to borrow a term from Ryan Overturf, who likes to call cards like this, as the debates are raging, strictly different. It's not better, it's not worse, it's just strictly different. It does different things. But yeah, this seems very cool. And the art, man, there's a lot of teeth on this thing. All the Elish Norn things are just like porcelain and sinew and teeth.
I might alter this card if I do get a playset just to put mouth guards on it. Just like, no, too much teeth, you're right.
You gotta be safe. All right, well, that is it for this one. Before we go, can we just go? This has been a long one.
Yes.
I think we should just go.
It's been a long
one. All right, let's do it. Listeners, thank you for joining us today. You can find us on Twitter at our handle, at MemoryJarMTG. We would love your feedback, and please tell us what cards you want to remember.
Again, special thanks to Chris Yates for the logo. We greatly appreciate it. You can find Chris on Twitter, we think, at CMY Company. If he's still on there, that's Company with a K. And until next time, don't get infected. Just don't. There's multiple layers to this, just don't get infected.